Well, thank you, Bonnie. That's exactly what I needed this morning. And perhaps others as well. And I'm reading this morning from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Paul's been giving instructions for Christian living to God's people. And he tells them, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Joey Adams of the New York Post once wrote that on New Year's Eve, an optimist will stay up until midnight to see the new year end, but that a pessimist will stay up to make sure the old year leaves. Now, whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, the fact remains that the old year of 2017 has already left us, and the new year of 2018 is here. And I have to admit that the older I get, the faster that process seems to repeat itself. Sometimes I feel like the character in the comic strip Frank in Ernest, who opens a calendar for the new year and is greeted with these words, here we go again. Well, here we go again. Just 2 weeks ago, we were handed a brand new year. And think of it. We can do with it what we will. We can use it any way we please. But a word of caution. Sooner or later, every one of us runs out of New Year's. Now, as many of you know, in the sports world, football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever, they count the time down to zero. The clock starts with the time allowed and always shows the time remaining. And if that were true for your life and my life, if we knew the time remaining rather than the time we've already used up, perhaps we might make better decisions. Perhaps we would put our time to greater use. But the truth is, no one knows how much time he or she has left. Tomorrow cannot be counted on. All that we have is the day before us. Arthur Gordon wrote, I once had an easygoing cousin whose favorite phrase was, one of these days. One of these days he would predict he would take that backpack trip into the Rockies with his children. One of these days he would learn to play the guitar. One of these days he would take his wife on that church retreat for married couples. Then on one of those days, he had a sudden heart attack and there were no more days. This is the day, said the psalmist. Not tomorrow or the day after or the day after that, but this is the day for us to rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day indeed, because it is the only day we have, the only one we can count on. And because that is true, I think that the words of Paul speak to us with greater urgency. Make the most of every opportunity. That is to say, make the most of your time. Use your time wisely. Spend it well. For Paul understood that we spend our time just as surely as we spend our money. So how do we do that? Make the most of our time. Use it wisely. Spend it well. I would suggest to you this morning that a good place to begin, especially at the beginning of a new year, is to take stock of ourselves. This is a good time for God's people to take a spiritual inventory, to look within, and to see where we are in our spiritual journey, in our walk with Christ. Perhaps it's a good time to ask some tough questions. Have I grown any closer to the Lord since this time last year? Is His presence any more real, any more visible in my life? Have I represented the Lord any more effectively, in such a way that I have drawn others to Him? Fred Bauer tells us, when I was in high school, I worked at a neighborhood grocery. It was a valuable experience because I learned to do many things. I deal with the public, order merchandise, figure prices, keep the books, write advertisements, cut meat, run the cash register, and at the end of the year, take inventory. That is, count everything on the shelves, in the storerooms, in the freezer. The store owner explained that without an inventory of goods, he wouldn't know his financial status, how his business was doing. And then the store owner used to say to him, "Of course I could operate like old Jake Thomas, who had a hardware store years ago. He never made an accounting, and it didn't seem to matter until he decided to sell the business." The prospective buyer was taken aback. How do you determine your profit or loss at the end of the year? "All I know," said Jake, "is that I always have more cash in the drawer at night than I did in the morning." Gordon went on to say, "Some people, myself included, like to take a personal inventory at this time of year, not so much financial, but spiritual. And the questions I ask are, am I using my time more wisely? Am I a better listener to God and to others? Am I more Christ-like, more giving, more loving, more understanding? Am I kinder, gentler, more thoughtful of others? Am I more helpful to people, especially to strangers with needs, especially silent ones?" Someday, he said, at the final accounting, "I wonder how I'll measure up." And I thought when I read that, perhaps at the beginning of each new day in this new year, we might consider taking a moment, bowing our heads in the presence of our Heavenly Father, and pray those words that the psalmist prayed when he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting." And I think that if you and I would begin each day like that in God's presence, that the spiritual inventory next year might just take care of itself. How do you make the most of your time in this new year to use it wisely, to spend it well? I would suggest to you that you must concentrate on this new year. Not on the faults and the failures of last year. To that end, I think that we need to let some things go and not drag them along with us into 2018. A new year is a good time, I think, for a fresh start, for beginning over again. And who of us does not need to begin over again sometimes? Some of us here saw that game. Some of us still remember it. It was the National Football League Championship game at Green Bay, Wisconsin, on Sunday, December 31st, 1967. The battle was between the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys, who fought at 13 degrees below zero. Isaiah Pitts, Green Bay's halfback, sat weeping on the Packers' bench as teammate Paul Hornung shouted, "Forget it, Isaiah, forget it." You see, Isaiah's mistake could have cost his team the game and the championship. His error in the bitter cold. He had fumbled the football and it was recovered by the Cowboys. Later in the game, however, Don Meredith, the Cowboys' quarterback, fumbled and Green Bay recovered. And in the post-game interview, Don Meredith said that his fumble led to his team's 21-17 defeat by the Green Bay Packers. Isaiah's fumble was not fatal, yet both players felt badly about their mistakes. And I tell you that story to ask you, I wonder, haven't you had some fumbles along the way? Last year? Mistakes? Failures? Commitments perhaps that you made to God and to others that you did not keep? Well, like Isaiah Pitts and Don Meredith, there's nothing we can do to change the past. But we can follow Paul Hornung's advice and forget it and move on. Or as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, forgetting what's behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on, said Paul. I press on. Peter Marshall, a great man of God, preacher, pastor, writer, chaplain of the U.S. Senate, felt that need in his own life to put the past behind him, to let it go and move on. And he expressed that need in a prayer entitled A Prayer for the New Year. Here's what he said. Lord, I confess before you that I have had longings and nudges from you which I did not translate into action. I have made decisions without consulting you and then blamed you when things went wrong. I have said that I trusted you and yet have not turned my affairs over to you. I have been greedy for present delights and pleasures, unwilling to wait for those joys which time and discipline alone can give. I have often sought the easy way, have consistently drawn back from the road that is hard. I have been fond of giving myself to dreams of which I am going to do sometime, yet have been so slow in getting started to do them. Forgive me for all the intentions that were born and somehow never lived. And now I claim your promise to change me. Do for me what I cannot do for myself. Lead me into a new tomorrow with a new spirit. Cleanse my heart Create within me new attitudes and new ideas as only you can create them. How do you make the most of your time in this new year? How do you use it wisely and spend it well? I would suggest to you that the new year is a good time for living. I mean living life to the fullest as a follower of the Lord Jesus. And that means that we must live by loving. If Jesus taught us anything, he taught us how to love. He taught us by word of mouth, and he taught us by actions that love is a way of life, his way of life. Love for God and love for others. And I would further suggest to you that to live by loving means at least two things. It means to live with compassion, giving yourself in a ministry of caring to others, to be sure there's nothing wrong in sharing your resources, your money with others. But that will never take the place of yourself, your time, your attention, your love. To those who are closest to you, and also and especially to those you meet along the way who have need of you. I have a challenge for you this morning. Would you with me determine that every day in this new year that you will be on the lookout for someone to whom you can express Christ's love, some act of kindness, some help you can offer another person? It may be something quite small. It may be a hug. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be a listening ear. It may be a prayer. It may be something more substantial. But be on the lookout every day for that someone that God is going to place in your path who needs you at that moment. Would you do that? Would you promise God that you're going to do that every day? An expression of love to someone who needs you. And I would suggest to you that to live by loving is to live with humility. On the first day of this new year, Georgia defeated Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl, 54-48, in double overtime. Oklahoma has a quarterback who won the Heisman Trophy this year. His name is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is a very talented, gifted, young quarterback. But also, in my opinion, Baker Mayfield is also very brash and a very arrogant young man. He's been recorded doing the throat slash to the opposing teams, all the while hurling profanities at the other players. With Oklahoma ahead, Mayfield walked by the Georgia bench, and he was shouting at the Georgia players, "You guys are through. It's over. It's over." And a linebacker from Georgia, God bless him, looked at Mayfield and said, "Humble yourself. Humble yourself." And I thought when I heard that, young man, if you don't humble yourself, life will humble you by and by. And somewhere down the road, God will humble you. But what would it mean for you, for me, to humble ourselves in this new year? Would it not mean that we would seek to live out Paul's definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13? Would it not mean that we would strive to be more patient and kind in all of our relationships? Would it not mean that any rudeness in our attitude, our actions, our words would be put away? Would it not mean we would hold our anger in check and not fly off the handle at the smallest provocation? That we would no longer keep a record of the wrongs that people have done to us. That we would not insist on having our own way all the time. That we would be more gracious, more willing to forgive, less judgmental of others. I can tell you this, that humbling yourself is not for weaklings. Because the one who loved us and gave himself humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, you're going to meet some difficult situations in this new year. You're going to encounter some difficult people. And you and I need to be asking ourselves, what would it mean for me right now in this situation with this person? What would it mean for me to humble myself and let Christ's love out in that moment? How do we make the most of our time in this new year? To use it wisely, to use it well. We will do so by living life to the fullest as followers of Christ. And that means we must live by trusting. In his book, Now or Never, the late Dr. Smiley Blanton, renowned psychiatrist, said that everyone is fighting a demon. Some have learned to control it, others have learned to live with it, but no one has eliminated it, and the demon is anxiety, worry. Someone has said that the neurotic is a person who worries about something that did not happen in the past. He's not like us normal people who worry about things that will never happen in the future. But the truth of the matter is, worry can hinder you. Worry can defeat you. And worry can rob you of the life that God has for you in this new year. And I would suggest to you that the 23rd Psalm is a psalm for us worriers. Because the psalmist here describes a shepherd God who is present with his people from the beginning of their journey all the way to the end, and all that happens in between, he goes with them. Every step of the way to see them through. And it was against the background of the 23rd Psalm that a very worried Daniel Shantz had an imaginary conversation with God one New Year's Eve. And it went like this. Lord, he said, I am so confused. My life seems like a series of accidents. I'm getting nowhere. And God responds saying, I am the shepherd. You are a lamb. It is not your job to know the way, but to follow me. Through all the twists and turns, I am leading you in paths of righteousness. You'll see. when you arrive. But Lord, he said, I'm falling behind financially. Who's going to pay all these bills? And the Lord said, you shall not want. Your daily cup is running over. Remember when I fed you in the presence of your enemies, and the time I anointed your head with healing oil when you were very ill. Trust me, one day at a time. But I get so weary, Lord, so very tired. I know, says the Lord, and I want you to lie down in green pastures. I can restore your soul if you will give me a chance. But you continue to worry and work as if I were not here and if everything depended on you alone. Doesn't it, Lord? Not at all. I am leading you for my name's sake, not because you are so wonderful. My name is the Good Shepherd, and I intend to keep my good name by caring for you. It's what I do. But I'm getting older, God. Sometimes I wake in the night thinking about dying. But even when you walk through the dark valley, says the Lord, I will be there with you. I've already been through death, and I know the way. And when you come out on the other side, it will be to dwell with me in my house forever. But I have so many regrets, Lord. Things I said and did that fill me with shame. And the Lord said, just settle down. My goodness and mercy have been following you everywhere. I am healing those old wounds and cleaning up the messes you made. Leave the past and the future to me. Pay attention to this day. It's the only one you have for sure. And as you move further on into this new year, remember that the Lord of all the times is with you. So don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Do everything you can to make the most of the time God gives you. Use it wisely. Spend it well. And have a blessed new year. Our invitation this morning is 312, softly and tenderly. And I invite you to come this morning to receive Christ as your Savior, to unite with His church, to recommit your life as we stand and as we sing this morning. You come.